Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
Each episode, we invite a third party to join us in the sack. We'll be chatting about relationships, sex, and every goddamn thing in between.
Hey, babe.
Oh, Diana.
How are you?
Dirty Diana.
Dirty Diana.
Oh, man, I'm feeling great. How are you feeling this eve?
Good. You look sweaty in a good way.
Well, yeah, it's hot and bothered time tonight.
In a sexy way.
Thanks.
You know who else has a beautiful glow going? This charming lady is a writer, performer, and storyteller in NYC.
Oh, man. I'll tell you something about her solo show, Naked People. She performed it at the UCB both in L.A. and New York, bi-coastal Naked People. It was also selected for the Women in Comedy Festival in Boston, and she hosts the Happy Hour Story Hour, which you can see Mondays at the UCB East Village Theater.
Welcome, Julia Wiedemann.
Julia
Wiedemann. Julia Wiedemann.
Yes, no, Wiedemann, but Wiedemann, that's exactly Wiedemann. You want to do it now that when you know,
right?
And that you're just like, no, it's the other way.
Yeah,
it's a mental thing.
Yeah, I almost called Murph Marf.
Yeah, I saw that slip. So we have Julia here in the studio, and we love to wine and dine all of our guests here at Ménage à Trois. And Julia, being the classy lady that she is, she asked for some, I almost said crystal.
What is wrong with our mouths?
Yeah, the mouths and brains are disagreeing.
It's champagne. It's champagne. So we raise our glasses. Mm.
Certainly not crystal.
Mm. Oh, my.
We have a low budget here at Ménage à Trois Radio.
It's got bubbles. I'm ready to celebrate.
Love that.
That's what it is.
That's what you say right before you get in the hot tub. So I saw Naked People.
Yes.
And I'm obsessed with it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it was a fantastic show.
It's so great. So there's so much to say about this that connects to our podcast here.
Yeah, it's a really good fit. It's a good fit.
One thing I had to say about it was that it like made me mad that it was so delightful to see you running around naked. Not that you're not a delightful naked person, but that it was like not happening more. You know, that it's so special
that it's
that
so bizarre
show, which is, you know, great for you, but it's also like, why is the naked body like such a delightful, mysterious creature when it should be like everyday life?
Right. Well, for women, because I mean, think about all the men that you've seen naked that do comedy. Will Ferrell, Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Jim Carrey fan since I was a very small child.
Right. Murph on the Gethard Show.
But for a woman to do it is such a bizarre. It's like, ah, tits can't be funny and you can't just be funny with your tits, or your downtown.
Downtown.
I find the vulva hysterical. How about everyone else?
What I liked about the show too was, which obviously, you know, the sketches and the pieces were personal to you, it seemed like a lot of them. So it also had substance to it outside of that, because I think because of that it could be easy to just think like, okay, well, I'm nude, so that's enough to get started, and maybe, you know, people would just be comfortable enough with that. But I just thought it was a very well-written, very well-performed show. And then on top of that had the explosive elements, which shouldn't be explosive is what you're saying.
Right.
And I agree. They shouldn't be. Hopefully at some point it's just like, yeah, we can just be naked and everyone's comfortable with it.
I like that it's something that, yes, only I'm doing. Well, actually, strike that. I'm not the first female pair of tits that you've seen on the UCB stage. Pam Murphy, her show, The C Word, she exposed her chest.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think, I mean, when I saw that, I was like, all right, I can, I mean, like, it gave me, I don't know, for lack of a better word, like a permission.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it was allowed,
if Pam Murphy can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah. Definitely.
The first time that I was...
Fellow redhead.
Semi-nude on the UCB stage, there was a... It was... you remember that show Kilgore?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
It was quite a few years ago. Not quite a few years, but the last time it was done, Frusciante had this idea of having like a scantily clad woman carry Kilgore on, who was a goldfish at the end. And there was some like mix up. I was like, oh, I can do it. And he didn't. And then I was like, oh, no, they got somebody already. And then and I remember being so disappointed. And my sister was like, well, Juliet, you know, like, do you really want the first time like that you're in a UCB show to be for you to be naked? And I was like, no, I guess you're right. Yeah. But then like
you showed them.
Well, but then like there was a mix up and they'd only gotten the other girl for like the first night. And so then I was going to do Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I did end up doing it. And I remember just being like, so excited. So I'm in the show and blah, blah, blah. But then I'm always thinking about my sister, like trying to make me feel better, be like, don't worry, like you don't want them to just think that you're tits. Right. And there's always it's a fine line of like you know, using my body to make people laugh and to make my comedy and my art, but also you know, being more than that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so easy for people to be like, ah, she's just a pair of tits.
Yeah, remember the tits show?
The tits show. Oh, the naked show. Seriously, the fact that you're even calling it like naked people is a really big deal to me. So often it's just like the naked show, Julia's naked show. Like at the Women in Comedy Festival, like there was this host, I like went after the intermission and the host was like, so do you want me to just introduce you? Here's Julia Wiedemann and her naked show. I was like, I'm so sorry.
Setting the bar. Yeah, then you're just expected to come out. And
I remember submitting to this festival. Like, you know what I mean? Who can you please read the program? There's no program, but like,
The program in your mind. You should have one.
Exactly. It's like it's not just the naked. It's not for. It's not just for. What's the word for just a
gimmick's sake?
It's not a gimmick,
right?
It's not a gimmick.
Which no, that's it's intrinsic to your show is the thing. It's not just like it's funny and you get to see titties. It's like that's the show.
Well, and hopefully that kind of blazes a trail where there just would be more casual nudity in shows as shows continue. I mean, UCB, of course, but anywhere, you know, which I think there are. I mean, there's puppetry of the penis. I mean, this is dudes, but there's like there have been the vagina.
That's dudes.
Puppetry of the penis. Sometimes there's a puppeteer that is a lady who dangles strings from up above, a Geppetto of penis.
I like to think of myself that way.
Yeah, well, you are a Geppetto of the penis. I can attest to that.
What I can do with a little lipstick and dental floss and a flaccid penis is really impressive.
I'm a ventriloquist of the penis.
Throw your voice.
What's that sound you were doing earlier?
Yeah, that was a.
No, I'm not doing it. And then
I can picture that dick.
So hopefully, hopefully that leads to more. Just kind of, I don't know. People call it. People say it's gutsy and it's bold.
It's. I don't want it to just be sensational. That's the word. It's not. You know, like yes, I'm happy that it was a sensation, but I wanted it to be more of a thing that people were being like, ah. She, you know, she's looking at her body. Like, why do I feel this way about my body? Do I feel, you know, like, am I embarrassed by my, you know, knees or my stretch marks or my whatever? Like,
both maybe.
Yeah, or both. Like,
stretch marks on your knees.
Stretch marks on your knees. A lot of, I must say also just a shout out to, I would not have been able to approach the subject matter of naked people the way that I did without the assistance and direction of Angela D.
Angela D, yes,
I saw Angela on the train the other day. She's delightful. Great.
And a Brit who comes at nudity from a very like don't look at my nipples. And I was like, let me see them. And she would be like, you are an exhibitionist. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I've got more to say. And then we'd have a conversation and the show.
That's a fun dynamic.
The creative process is
And now we also have people on the program who come from a lot of different backgrounds, have different different professions. And we like to ask them how their profession affects their personal life, their love life, their sex life. With this show makes it somewhat interesting, but also just with you as a performer in general, how do you feel that helps your or hurts your sexual
being naked?
Like, yeah, like, I mean, maybe that show or anything else. Like, a lot of people are like, general, oh, yeah. I get laid a lot because I'm on stage, or I avoid theater dating, or somebody came up to me after the show and wanted to.
I knew from a very young age, I can't remember what tipped me off, but I knew not to date stand-ups or musicians.
Uh-huh. That's smart.
But then I did anyway. I went and proved it.
It's all trial and error.
When I did burlesque, I got a lot of, you know, I mean, like people would approach me more often.
Waiting outside.
Yeah. But, you know, but then there were also the husbands of some of the girls that would like protect and be cool. And I don't know. How has... I met my boyfriend doing improv, doing musical improv. Yes, yes.
Not musical.
No. Well, I think with musical improv, it's more, you're more likely to be dum-dums in front of each other.
Yep.
Right.
Immediately. and we sang a song together about, he was singing about oranges. It was a duet. And I was singing about apples.
Apples to orange.
And then you touch that forbidden fruit.
Yeah. Well, now it was a while before I let him touch my forbidden downtown. Yikes.
I just had an image.
I was like, what fruit is she going to say? I'm so excited.
My forbidden guanabana.
The guanabana. Ooh.
Ooh, good fruit, Julia.
Yep.
It's fresh.
Guanabana. Mm.
I just had an image of you doing musical improv and throwing your voice back to the ventriloquism of the penis and having his penis opening and talking. A lot of things just ran through my mind that were disturbing and strange.
On the topic of physicality, what people look like, we have an awesome article to discuss with you in our Sexy Science. Sexy Science.
Sexy Science. What is Taylor was thinking of some things over there. He was not quite prepared.
Wait, hold on. It has to be. Well, let's try it out, Diana. It's more like Sexy Science.
Oh, that my voice commanded that. Yeah. Yeah,
that's what.
Try it again.
All right, hold on. Let me get a Dorito.
Yeah, that'll work.
Sexy Science. Fuck. All right.
This article.
No, I'm going to do it. Sexy Science. Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right.
Let's raise our glasses to that.
Please.
Cheers to that.
To Sexy Science.
Wash this Dorito down. All right. This, ripped from the headlines of Science Daily, this article is called There Is No Single Sexy Chin.
Now, what this article is about, this is a Dartmouth College global study of male and female preferences for facial characteristics of the opposite sex. This also kind of taps into, I'll just say there are 180 male and female skeletons in 9 areas of Australia, Africa, Asia, and Europe. So they did a lot of bone study here. And what they came up with was that the facial features of all the other things that do attract mates and how some people say that, different layouts of the face and...
Like in cross cultures, obviously there's some variation, but like certain shapes or being symmetrical or whatever is found attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And the chin cannot be pinned down.
The one area that was a mystery was the chin.
And it kind of goes against the like Darwinian idea that there is like something you look for in a mate. Because like good skin, for instance, is like that they look healthy or like being of a healthy weight or whatever. There's all these biological cues for what we find attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But the chin.
The chin's no man's land.
The chin is a mystery.
No woman's man's land.
Well, that makes me happy because I feel like eventually I will acquire the double chin.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that...
Two chins sexier than one. I think they will just both be irrelevant.
But you it's irrelevant
whether
or not I have two or one, whatever they look like.
Three.
But then also I worry that I have a Michael Cera chin.
Michael Cera chin?
What is up? Can you... Let me see your chin. She kind of does have a Mike Ulcer.
Yeah, it's a little lacking.
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
No, but it's like,
you have a nice chin.
My sister told me once that the Wiedemanns do not have chins.
Well,
so.
And at least she pronounced your name right.
Amazing. Amazing. I mean, you're already doing really well, the fact that you have any chin then for your family.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
Murph and I were talking about, we both have the dimple chin. So our kids are probably just going to have a big butt face.
It's hard to see as much in mine right now with my current girth, but I've put on some weight.
Don't hide it.
But yeah, we have the dimple, so I wonder, if our children will just be able to poop out of their chins, I guess.
Or will they have double dimples?
Double dimples.
Oh, man.
Ooh,
these are our twins. They have double dimples.
Double dimples. They have
Michael Douglas
chin. I got some double dimples.
Another weird thing is, I think lack of chin is probably universally unattractive.
Yeah.
I think they're saying there's no shape, like certain things that are like...
particularly sexy or desirous. Right.
Whereas everyone can appreciate like higher cheekbones or whatever, cross-culturally, the chin
like
has
symmetrical
no...
eyes.
And now is the chin, because I'm also thinking in terms of...
Two eyes. A number one.
Thumbs up.
Check. The jaw, is it, like, what did the chin... The chin begins where the jaw ends. I mean, I don't know much about physiology.
Yeah, what
but,
the fuck is a chin?
Well, because I'm thinking of it in terms of strong jaw. Like, you know, like dudes... that are, I mean, like legendary buffoon Sean Hannity, for example, is a guy who tries to carry himself because he's got a strong jaw and like a chin. But I don't know if that's the chin.
What about dogs and their snouts?
Mm.
Like, is a chin to a human like a snout is to a dog?
Meaning so it doesn't matter?
So like, a pug could be sexy or a
dachshund.
A dachshund.
Is
with a long snout.
Like, I mean, it doesn't matter. They're going to sniff butts regardless, right?
Right.
I think that's fair.
And we have to have something to connect our jaw to our face.
Yeah.
It's our chin.
I was in the MoMA earlier today. I have for my anniversary with my boyfriend, hello.
Congrats.
Thank you. I got us a dual membership to the MoMA. So whenever I'm in Midtown, I have a clean place to go to the bathroom. And
that's exceptional. Yeah.
But also I can look
at
art.
Your own modern art. Yeah.
Modern
I make
art.
My own
great
modern.
Facilities. Decent art.
You know, it's a bathroom where you don't need to touch anything. Mm-hmm. Like you don't need to flush. You don't
need
to get
air blade.
You don't need to get your soap. You don't need to turn on water. You have the Dyson Airblade.
Oh, yeah. What a great way to dry your hands.
But so after I went to the bathroom, I walked around and looked at some art, and there was a slideshow of different faces. I know this is not sexy. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But since we're talking
it's
about
real.
Chins and the and you know whether or not you have one being neither here nor there, there were these pictures of people whose faces were like shot through. Or blown up, and
shot through the chin.
Yeah, and people like whose faces were just exploded and just mangled, and then like what they look like through the series of like how they were repaired, and how like you can't really recover from a exploded chin.
No, yeah, that's a. So I wonder if,
but
no, I know.
Still those people find love.
They do.
That's good to know.
How?
You know, it's because they have two symmetrical eyes.
That's what they need. As long as their eyes are left intact, you can take or leave the chin.
Because their cheekbones are so high.
Yeah, those high,
you know what else
well-defined cheekbones.
So there's some other people out there in America and Canada who need help finding love.
North America, but not Mexico.
Let's take a walk over to Listener Love.
Listener Mailbag. Oh, people write us, they tweet us, they holler at us on the train.
They need help.
They need help. This one is this one came from our Facebook page, which people are starting to follow us on Facebook and talk to us on Facebook, which is really a great social media platform. Hell. All right. So Randall in Tulsa asks, my girlfriend always drinks whiskey before we make love. I asked her not to, and now she hides it from me. But I can smell it on her breath. Is my dick so awful?
Can I just attack this straight off the bat?
Yeah, go.
What's his name again?
Randall.
Randall. Hey, Randall.
In Oklahoma.
If anybody hides anything from you, like, just straight up address it. And if they are unwilling to, face that they are a secret keeper from you. You should not be in a relationship with someone that keeps shit from you. Right. Excuse me, can I say shit?
Yeah,
shit. Oh,
yeah.
You should say shit.
You know what I mean? Like, if you think about, like, any bad relationship that you've had, you probably kept stuff from that person, like, or hid yourself. Like, if you don't, I mean, every single time?
Is it just every single time that she goes down on you?
She's knocking back some
whiskey? Well, he says make love, which is
Well, nice, that could be, sweet, I mean, that could that be could,
but it's
the
any
whole
kind
gamut.
Of
the gamut.
Right.
Yeah.
First off, here's the issue.
The one issue
that I wonder is she just an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Or is she, this is more specific and something that would need to be discussed between these two, but is it only when they're having sex?
Yeah.
Because that seems like there might have been some sort of traumatic experience. There might be something she could discuss with this and would talk about this if it's trusted and everything's out on the table. But I think you're right. You need to address it immediately.
Yeah. And also there's the other option of him having a really awful dick.
There's also that. Because he does actually end this with, is my dick so awful?
No,
so,
I'm joking.
Yeah. Randall, well, I think he
needs to honestly move on.
Yeah.
And she needs to either seek help or someone who loves whiskey breath.
Well, straight up to the woman, like, don't hide anything. Like, especially not alcohol. Like, seriously, like, that's clue number one to yourself, your boyfriend. Like, I mean, like, nobody should tell you what to do. But, like, if you need
to...
That's a really empowered voice. It's like an empowered cartoon.
Loved it.
You shouldn't hide something from the person that you're supposedly making love with, you know, like,
nope.
Because seriously, guys, I've made a lot of love, and the best kind of lovemaking that I have done is the kind of lovemaking where it's like all out on the table.
You're both drunk and it's okay.
Yeah. You both know.
No, but where he knows every inch of my, pubic heart.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Does that make sense? That's
so
disgusting.
Randall, find a nice lady that you can get to know every inch of her pubic heart, right?
Absolutely.
Because he's already tried confronting her, so I think that's
the way. Exactly. Good job, Randall.
All right. Our next question floats to us from Marjorie in Boise, Idaho, via our email, menageatois.radio@gmail.com. Marjorie asks, or states, I work during the day as a paralegal, and I strip at night, not for money, but because I love it. A few nights ago, my boss came in. I saw him right before I went on stage and said I felt sick to avoid performing. Is it just a matter of time before I have to give up my double life?
Again, this has to do with secrets.
Mm-hmm. Another secretive.
Our listeners are a sneaky bunch.
Well,
so are our hosts.
I mean,
so is our producer.
Yeah, there's a theme here with the secrets. Yeah. So yeah, you should be, I mean, honesty
I think this one's
first.
A little different, though.
Yeah,
I think
it
you
is.
Have a right outside of your 9-to-5 to, like, live your life, and that doesn't mean you have to tell everyone at work about it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have a 9-to-5, and I don't come in and say, I have a sex podcast. Like,
right.
You know, I wouldn't deny it if confronted, but I sit through design meetings, and that's what I do, you know?
I think it's a difficult thing because people will infer a great deal about somebody who takes off their clothes with no questions.
Yeah.
They will just be like, oh, you're that person.
And not even address the fact that they're someone who goes into an establishment to watch people take their clothes off. So that wouldn't. So that would be that. I would actually pay to see that confrontation if it did come up, because it would be an awkward. For this, what is it? The boss.
Yeah,
the boss,
like,
is the, so I guess a lawyer at this law firm, and
partner,
she's a paralegal
probably.
Partner, whatever. So this man would have to, if he saw an employee of his, that's
he'd
sad
be like,
and
you're
not
a
just
stripper,
let her. And
she and
loves
she'd be
doing
like, you
it.
Go to
so,
strip clubs. And
yeah,
then
I mean,
they just
and then it's all
other.
About like control and who's got the power. Is it the person with the purse strings, or you know, with the wad of cash, or is it the person up on the stage? And I would. Guess that the reason why she enjoys stripping so much is, because there is a sense of power that you hold while you're, you know, writhing that pole or, you know, taking off your bra or whatever it is, whatever her style of stripping is. Mm-hmm. Obviously I've done burlesque. I've taken off my clothes for attention and for money in bars across the country. And I've, you know, done it because I'm the person taking off my clothes.
It's your, you know, control, it's me. Like I get power, to, yeah.
I get to shake my tits. I get to, you know, revel in my body. In a strip club, it's something, you know, you're doing it for money and attention, and you know, and I mean, she's obviously maybe she, well, she's not doing it for, she says that she enjoys it.
She says she enjoys it, yeah. I mean,
I don't know, no shame, no shame.
I think just, she should keep doing her thing, and mm-hmm. if it gets to a point of confrontation, cross that bridge when you come to
exactly.
it, but don't be ashamed, just don't be really ashamed. Open and
yeah.
honest.
Exactly,
it
and
up.
It's not his business what
no,
she does
fuck, yeah.
After five, like you said, it's not their business.
No.
If she's doing her job and it doesn't interfere, then. Ain't their business.
Yeah.
Ain't it's none of your business.
And if you want to take a guy home with me tonight, it's none of your business.
Oh, God. That's such a...
love that.
You know what she's like? Just who do you think you are?
Put
so
in
intense.
Your two cents in.
Ain't you got... Wait, ain't you got to then worry about my friends? Check it. Okay. Oh, we should do another episode of us screaming songs that album.
Just
please.
That. What's the, very necessary.
Very necessary
idea.
Was
very
a necessary. Tremendous
that
album.
Very necessary.
Holla, one more question.
This one.
Help one more person.
This one's on Twitter. This one was tweeted at us. This came from @SilkySue. My nipples are very different sizes. I only fuck in the dark. Wah.
Oh, Silky,
wait,
I love
I'm so
you.
Sorry.
Wah?
Wah.
It
W-A-H. Wah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't adding commentary. I was
Murph,
immediately judging
Murph
Silky
doesn't
soon.
Want to help
ooh,
anybody.
My nipples wah. Are very wet. No. This is from
so,
the tweet.
So and she says nipples, not breasts.
My nipples.
All right.
Yeah, because
so.
Because different sized breasts.
And nipples.
I mean, all things are very common this mm-hmm. day and age. Everybody's
all
got
things
different
are.
Things going on. But yeah.
All things are.
But yeah, the nips are very different sizes.
Honestly,
so the fact that
Silky
you,
Sue has stolen my heart.
This is a third, I feel, that there's a
element
a secret.
Of secrecy.
There's a secrecy. I fuck mm-hmm. in the dark?
Yeah.
No, this just makes me think of shame, though. I don't think this is as much like I'm hiding. I think it's like I don't feel super comfortable about my body, which is pretty common.
Well, I mean, my guess is that somebody was like, damn, your nipple is weird.
Yeah,
like, why
some
is
idiot
that
said
nipple
that once.
That size? And, you
one's
know,
one's a dinner plate and one's a checker piece.
And if you, well, seriously, if somebody reacts like that, get them out your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or leave their house. You have all the power there. No matter how much, like, no matter how many drinks
the
they bought
theater.
You, right? Like, if they bought you drinks, fantastic. If they bought you dinner, fantastic. But if they can't handle, like, two different nipple sizes,
I know.
Leave that.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's kind of cool to get, you're getting, like, two different things in one person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's like
kind of
you
fun
can
to
you
me.
Can trick yourself, even if you're thinking you might be having a three way. You grab one
champagne.
Nip, you grab the other nip.
And it's not that big of a, it's a nipple.
It's just a
nipple.
It's just a nip.
You know, I mean, like, it drives
it's
me.
It's the top of a baby's bottle.
Now, Julia, let me ask you this. You make pasties.
I do.
Now, you sell them in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
Could
so
she get a
could she
and
get
a little?
Could she get different size?
If she let me know, thank you. Don't give me the end of the bottle or else I'd be pregnant by the end of the year.
Oh, boy.
We should talk after this. That's not how you get pregnant.
It's a superstition, Diana. Yes, I do make pasties.
You do make
and
pasties.
If somebody had two different nipple sizes, I would gladly make.
You wouldn't like charge extra and send a mean comment.
Psh, no. Be like, why is this having to happen, weirdo?
That's Silky Sue. No judgment here. No judgment here. You know what kicks? If someone's going to be shitty to you and judge your nips, kick them out of the bedroom.
Yeah, and because that's just the beginning.
Kick them out. She stole my heart with that. Mm-hmm. I just love her.
Yeah.
Okay. This, we're going to pick up the pace. Are you ready for this? We're going to come at you with 6 rapid fire sex questions in 6 sections.
Okay. And this is just top of my head.
Top of your head.
I don't These have any time.
As fast as you possibly can.
Don't think. UCB motto, don't think.
There Julia, wait a minute. Question number 1. Would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or 1 life partner?
1 life partner.
What's the sexiest animal?
Cheetah?
Who is your number 1 celebrity crush?
I don't know. Should I say a male or a female?
It's up to you.
I'll say Helen Mirren.
What's the best song to have sex to?
any rap, hip hop. Like, I haven't done it yet, but I've been wanting to do it. Just so you know. That's a
Julia, hot tub, backseat, or bed?
Oh, bed, because you can pretend that it's all the same there.
What is the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Excitement and...
Excitement.
Excitement.
I don't know.
We're locking that in.
Yikes. Wonderful. You guys, I got so nervous. No, that music is so nerve-wracking.
The music really sets the tone for that.
We have some follow-ups with that.
I do not know why I said cheetah.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like fast.
Spotted fast.
And,
sleek.
You know, when it's in slow motion.
Oh, man. The form is just
You guys
impeccable.
Can't see it, but for our listeners at home, Julia was just running in slow motion like a cheetah. It was cool.
Helen Mirren.
That's a
so
great choice.
Wonderful.
It took a while, but it's a great choice.
The first person that came to mind was... Jeff Goldblum, because I recently watched Independence Day.
Love it.
I was going to say Not the Fly.
Reawakened.
I always say Not the Fly.
I know.
Jeff Goldblum at the end of The Fly is the most revolting thing in the entire
world. I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's like claymation special effects.
Gross. It's Cronenberg.
Christ.
So Independence Day you saw and you felt some kind of way about it.
Reawakened, you know, the love affair that started with Earth Girls Are Easy and
so
Jurassic
good.
Park. And
so what about
and I met him once, so
oh, all right. So there's actually what about Madame Helen story. Mirren, where does that come from?
I don't know, we were talking about naked people earlier, mm-hmm. I've been working on the next project, so I haven't thought about naked people in a while.
I think about naked people all the time. Sorry, everyone. That champagne is woo!
I know, it's the best. It's like, dun, 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 life is great.
It's
beautiful.
A special kind of drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, okay. Mirren.
Yeah, Helen Mirren is so what were you going
to say? Well, is that she is someone who gets naked and as a...
She has great titties.
And and I don't know if she's ever had any work done, but she has no shame about it. There isn't a fear... anything in her performances or anything. And if you haven't seen Prime Suspect, you haven't seen like one of the greatest detective and dramas in
she's an incredible actor, number one. But
she's sexy
also...
anyway when someone's that talented. Oh, yeah. Obviously has like, you know,
well,
wild
she looks
sex appeal,
but... and it also sucks too because it just is always coming up. But as an older woman, you see, and I recently
less roles,
peeped some
less exciting roles.
Yeah, well, I just mean even less people thinking of you less as a sexy, you know, beautiful person walking around. But and I don't know whether she had worked on it either. But regardless, I saw a photo of her at the beach recently. Peeped one of those online, and she was in a bikini. I was like, Jesus Christ on the cross, Helen Mirren is.
Well, but also, I mean, that brings up a whole other subject. It's like, if people aren't thinking of us as sexy, then do we not exist anymore? Is that what happens?
Is that the only thing?
Well,
yeah.
It's kind of that
for ladies
thing.
And for men.
Right, I totally
but, like, you
get
know,
that.
Because men have all that stupid shit
sure
too.
Do,
you know,
what
I mean, like you were just talking
anything.
About your weight gain, man.
Oh,
you were just
the
you,
beef.
You know what I mean? Like you're like you can't
he cries
see my chin because
all
you know what I mean.
Time. No, I'm just
but
kidding.
Like we all have this like body image, like oh, what happens when everything changes?
Can
and
I say I think that you like everyone wants to have their cake and eat it too. Because you're like, I'm not a sex object. I'm so much more. But if I want to be a sex object, I better damn well be one. And you can't say I'm not. Right. And you better think I'm hot, even if I'm like, don't say I'm hot, you know. No. And that goes for women and men as well. But it's like wanting to be seen as like.
I completely agree.
A brain, a wiener, a tit, and a labia. Well, like, it's all out there.
It's like what I was saying earlier. All it's like I want people to be able to come to, you know, like if I'm going to do a show called Naked People, I want people to be like, ooh, naked people. But then when they leave, I want them to know that I'm smart.
Yes.
You know, and that I wrote my own show. You know what I mean? like, and after I just wagged my tits in their face.
Sure, sure. You know what I mean? You know, but sometimes you got to wake them up. Sometimes you got to wake them up a little bit.
It's a very fine line, is all I'm saying. You know, is that it's...
And you can have both. I think the thing is you should definitely be able to have both.
Well, let's see if these people have both.
These people.
We're going to scoot on over to our PC Spotlight, which is our famous power couples throughout history. You know her. She's a chorus girl at the Paris Opera House with a case of Stockholm Syndrome.
You know him, a deformed architect with a great set of pipes.
We're talking about...
Christine.
And Eric, otherwise known as the Phantom of the Opera. All right, so this is a pretty fucked up story.
Yes.
Yeah. But what a couple. What a pair.
Power couple.
Yes.
Holy moly.
Chills in the house.
It brings up so many. Okay, so there's obviously the idea of looks. Wonder what
and
his
youth.
Chin.
Did he have a chin? Yeah, did he have a chin?
Did he have a chin under that mask? Did the mask even cover the chin?
Part of it, yeah. It didn't matter, though, was the thing.
But then also it's, like, super dysfunctional. Like, he kidnapped her, kept her in a basement, but she kind of liked it until she didn't like it. And then she said she would kiss him, but he had never been kissed. And then just a lot of weird stuff.
I have not seen the Broadway show, Phantom of the Opera. I've heard
seen it,
some,
like, 10
some
times.
Excerpts.
Really?
But I saw... No, so now, in the Broadway show, is there... Because I remember reading the story a long time ago, and then I saw... I don't know if it was on PBS or something, but there was a short film about Phantom of the Opera, and it was so dark and so disturbing. Did they capture that on Broadway or?
I honestly don't remember a lot of the details. I had to go back and look. So I think this is like a fun couple because of what it brings up.
Right.
But I was just obsessed with it as a girl. I was on my first trip to New York, and I was like 7, and I had bought, or maybe 9, I had bought a velvet hat that I thought was like the coolest shit in the world. And
it's
the
90s,
I looked like I looked like a blossom, but like an orphan. Like I was like a really weird kid. And I went to see Phantom of the Opera on Broadway, and it like blew me away. So then when it came back to Portland, Oregon, where I'm from, I like went again and again every time it came because I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. I've only seen the movie.
Right.
So, but I do know the music and the story and whatnot.
Do you think there's anything hot about a deformed dude living in an opera house who like has been kind of stalking you but is really talented?
Can I tell you a weird thing
that
makes me think of?
Okay. Please.
When I was 7 and I would either like have to take a nap or when I was going to sleep in the night, and if I was having trouble sleeping, I would lay very still, close my eyes, and imagine that I was tied to my bed.
I don't think that's weird.
Wait.
No.
No,
Julie ain't finished.
Tied to my bed that was a slab in my mind that I was in a scientist's, that I'd been captured by a scientist. And that, and looking back, I'm like, this, what a great relaxation exercise I was achieving on myself. But in fact, it was just a very, I don't know where I got the idea, but my imagination, I was stuck to a slab in a scientist's office and he had captured me. It was actually probably very similar to like the Princess Bride situation.
Yeah, the torture.
Now that I think about
chamber,
that. Yeah. But, and that
not
he would, that he would inject me. The scientist would inject me with things to, hurt my body, like, you know, like kind of make it die, make my body die.
Just
and
poison
then,
you.
Right, exactly. Sort of like inject me with poison so that I would not be able to fight. And then I just, you know, and then he was like, ha, 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 you know, I'm going to get you. But then the story in my mind, my imagination, the scientist would leave. And then one by one, every boy in my class that I could imagine would come and try and save me by kissing me and...
On the mouth?
On the mouth, like Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
But, but that I would be basically paralyzed on a slab. And that the just... only person that could actually wake me up would be the scientist.
Oh.
Whoa. Because okay. There is a spin at the end. Because what I was going to say, besides the twist of the scientist man at the end being the hero and the villain, which is interesting in itself. It sounds like you had like just a really great imagination.
Yeah, that imagination. Yeah.
Like, because tying in the like Sleeping Beauty with like a way to make yourself go to sleep. But there is something weird about, you know, being rescued by the guys coming to kiss you. Not weird, but like interesting.
Yeah. No, and I've never told that story out loud. I mean, I think I've told friends of mine. But, I mean, this is
a huge listenership. So you just got it out there. You're free.
It's out there. I'm free. It, you know what? I don't need to keep that secret anymore.
And neither does that scientist.
So that's so there is something to the captor, because at the end of Phantom of the Opera, there was. So it's the idea. What is the lesson to take? I don't know what the hell lesson I took away from Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
That looks. Looks don't matter, only skin deep? Is it that type of scenario?
No, they definitely matter. She ran away and married someone else.
True. Yeah. And then he fabulously just committed suicide by playing the organ and everything crumbled around him. Is that how it ended? Or was that the PBS special?
Well, no, he had that chandelier come crashing down, but that was like to ruin the opera house because they hadn't given him a box seat.
And also, is it her voice that he's so attracted to?
Originally.
He hears her singing to his
pipes. I mean, like, I would say the lesson is be careful. Don't be too talented.
Mm. All right. I hope that you can exercise some of your expertise that we just got to witness in our PC Spotlight. We're going to take you on a little date on Virtual Sugar.
Oh, okay.
Now, Virtual Sugar is what we've done here is we've taken a real OkCupid profile. We know a little bit about you, so we went online and we decided, hey, let's play matchmaker. So we found a real OkCupid profile.
That's true. This is fascinating.
And we're going to take you on an improvised date.
Mm-hmm. So we're taking you out with a gentleman named Never Nude Lou. Excuse me. And we're taking you to a monster truck rally. And we're fully playing Never Nude Lou. So we're just going to improvise a little date here, okay?
Okay. All right.
Date begins now.
Hey!
Are you okay?
Yeah. I switched to Newport Lights, but, you know, I don't know. Not doing me too much good. How you doing?
I'm well.
Thank you for meeting me here.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I've never been to a rally.
To a rally?
Excuse me. Are y'all in the right seats? Because my ticket said I'm supposed to be sitting here right in front of Trick Rally.
Still have Luann, the tickets? Are we in the
right
place?
Yeah, I have the tickets. We're in the right place. Luann, here we go. Quit hassling me once again.
How are you on a date?
Yeah, I'm on a date. Luann's kind of like a mother to me. Lost my mother in Vietnam. Scenario.
All right, Lou. I'm just going to be right over there if you need anything. You better be nice to my boy, Lou. You hear me, you little firecrotch tart?
Luann!
That's
okay. About that.
That's,
she's protective.
That's okay.
She's a wonderful woman.
I get it.
She's got great nipples.
I'm sorry you lost your mother.
Of varying sizes. I did. You know, I don't want to mislead. It was a Vietnam scenario. It wasn't actually the war in Vietnam.
It was a
viewing party of Apocalypse Now, and things got out of control, and we lost her. But let's not get into dark places early in the date. I mean, you're so lovely. I'm looking lovely. Luann's lovely. This is a lovely rally.
Is Luann gonna be here the entire time?
She's gonna hang out. She'll probably watch over things.
Do you come here all the time? I know that's such a cliche
twice
question.
A week. Yeah, right. Twice a week. Not all the time.
Is this like a test?
Are you into it? Are you not into it? This is kind of...
God damn it. My wig just flew off. Can someone go grab my wig?
I'll go get it.
All right. Okay. You're going to win Luann's
heart. Oh, thank you so much, sweetheart.
Here you go.
You ever worn a wig?
Yeah. I love wigs. I like to clean my apartment in a wig.
This is going well.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, if I had a place to live, I would probably clean in my wig.
Luann stays under the bleachers here at the the rally, so we're kind of, you know, I kind of just invited you over to my mother figure's house is what this is really all about.
This is a test.
This is a big-time test.
You know, I could feel it.
You're passing with flying colors right now.
Well, I, you know what, I don't like to judge people immediately, but this is a first date, and I do have some first date questions.
Sure,
because every time I have a first date, these are my first date questions, okay? Number one, have you ever been to prison?
I have spent one night seven separate occasions. I've spent seven nights total in prison, yes.
Okay, but never in a row?
No, never in a row.
Do you have children?
I do not have any children, no.
Have you ever been married before?
Well, all right, full disclosure, me and Luann had a wild night. Crossed some streams, you know.
Are you
no, that wasn't marriage. What am I talking? Why did I even offer that?
Are
no,
you
I've never been married.
About me? You said you wouldn't marry me. I will not marry you,
Luann. You're kind of like my mother.
Are you into piss play?
I'm into piss play. Is that your fourth question on every first date?
No, you just said cross streams though. So you know.
Let me tell you, sweetheart. You are young and beautiful, and this man, he got me home. He talked me into, you know, spend the night outside the bleachers, and he just pissed all over my face, and then I went to sleep.
That's a true story.
Hey, I'm too drunk and I need a ride home. You ask this little filly if she wants a second date. We got to get going.
All right, can you?
Where are you taking a ride home to?
To around the bleach.
Go to the AMP, get a Slurpee, or I can't sleep. Shit, bitch.
She needs her sugars before bed.
Excuse me.
She's a sassy broad.
Excuse me.
She's a firecracker. All right, look, can we possibly, it's been a little rocky here early, but you met Luann. Luann seems to love you. You think we can get a second date?
She just called me a bitch.
Well, that's her way.
We got it. Yeah. We've never gotten it. Yeah. That was a good date.
Yeah. I love this. So those are you do get those questions out for a first date. They're good ones.
I do. Yeah. Well, I mean, when I dated more often, I like to attack immediately with
smart,
very, you know, to the point questions, because nobody expects that on a first date.
Mm-mm.
Nobody expects.
Got to catch them on their off their toes. Yeah. Keep them on their toes.
I also ask, have you ever cheated on anyone? Have you ever been cheated on?
That's
and what size heel do you wear? That's a trick question,
because
then you find out if they're a transvestite, which I found that out the hard way.
Jesus Christ. We have to have you back and talk all about
talk
that.
Talk more trannies.
Well, no, I mean, before it got too intimate, but we're still friends.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have a friend in Never Nude Lou.
Never Nude Lou will be with us always. You need to look him up on OkCupid. But for now, we got to get to a sadder portion of the show.
This is really sad.
It just gets me all choked up. We got to say goodbye to Julia Wiedemann.
Oh, no.
I'm sad. If you guys are sad, too, you can see a little more of Julia every Monday night at the UCB East. She hosts the Happy Hour Story Hour,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, come tell a story. Throw your name in the hat. You put your name on my face and throw it in the hat, and then I pick it, and everybody gets to go.
Excellent. And also, she's got a web presence. You want to get on that World Wide Web. You want to check her out, juliawiedemann.com. And also at Julia Wiedemann on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And she makes pasties, which we just found out. Can they like
awesome.
Tweet at you and try to get some pasties?
Yeah, the tweet at me, try and get some pasties. Or, you know, very soon I'm going to be making an Etsy of some sort.
Awesome. And you don't care if nipples are differing sizes.
Yeah, because I make all different sized
All different sized pasties.
Yeah, all different sizes.
Different shapes and sizes. Also, please tweet at us at Menage Radio if you have any questions for us. You need some help.
Check us out online at menageatoisradio.com or email us at menageatoisradio@gmail.com.
We must thank our lovely sensual producer, Mr. Taylor Moore. He's grooving. He's moving and grooving. He's diving in.
He's making suggestive hand gestures.
He is now a reverse birth, and he's choking on it. Ooh, he's no longer with us, but he was lovely.
He's no longer with us.
Oh.
We'd like to thank Doritos for
Cool
being
ranch.
Salty.
Cool and you know what? It's just ranch Doritos. We figured out your fucking
pretty cool.
Pretty cool ranch.
Pretty cool.
Cool ranch is the same as ranch at Julia Wiedemann.
I smell that whiskey on your breath. I know you're lying to me, boy.
Boss, don't come to my strip joint. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Sensual jams provided by French Horn Rebellion. Hear more at FrenchHornRebellion.com. Ooh.